The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Oh boy, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Now, longtime listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program, they know, you guys know, that I don't jump into the conspiracy theory stuff. I try to stay as far away from that as possible. But I got to tell you something. I'm beginning to sense that something is not quite right in the country. And I'm starting to put the puzzle pieces together. And during this program, I want to posit, if you will, several theories, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on where all of this is going. So now, many of you think we're starting in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, but we are not. But it is part of this idea, this theory that I'm about to share with you. I want to go back to 2007 just briefly. 2007, during the presidential campaign, when Barack Hussein Obama, who was an anti-colonialist, and this came from his father, of course, from Kenya, not Hawaii, but Kenya, and there was a great, great resentment in Kenya to the occupation of the country by the British. And that really impacted young Barack Hussein Obama. So much so that he became a community organizer in this country. As a matter of fact, Barack Obama promised on the campaign trail to fundamentally transform America. And a lot of people in the media dismissed that. They thought it was just a clever slogan on the campaign trail. But even back then, as I was a reporter covering Barack Obama at Fox News Channel, I paid attention to that phrase. There was a lot packed into that idea of transforming America. And I remember one day out on the campaign trail, and I thought about this. Why would you want to fundamentally transform a country that you supposedly love, right? But it made sense because then Mrs. Obama, Michelle, Mother Obama, came out and said that that after her husband won the nomination, defeated Hillary Clinton, Mrs. Bill Clinton, and they did that by portraying her and her husband as racist in South Carolina. She said that for the first time in her life, she was proud of her country. So the only reason Michelle Obama loved America is because the American voters nominated him and then elected him president of the United States. So there's always been this under-the-radar transformation happening in this country. And it never really stopped. Even when President Trump was elected, that's why he was so hell-bent on draining the swamp. Because that's where all of this transformation is taking place. And it's taking place again today in a very rapid style. So anyway, you say, Tom, where are you getting with all of this? I got to go eat my ham sandwich. What's going on here? Well, hang tight. Hang in there, folks. I'm getting to the point here. There is a fundamental transformation. What is the transformation? Well, I believe that the transformation is Venezuela. I believe that the Democrats, the woke progressives of the Democrat Party, want to turn us into a socialist nation fashioned in the likes of Venezuela. That's where I think all of this is going. And that's why I think that we have seen our cultures and our traditions our very way of life, the American way of life, under attack. Piece by piece, the progressives are dismantling our society. And what's the story? The old analogy: you put a frog into a pot of water, a cold pot of water, and you slowly turn up the heat. And before the poor frog knows what's happening, he's a frog-like dinner somewhere. And I think the same thing applies to this country, little by little. And this goes back to the late 1950s into the 1960s. And here we are, where we are in a full-blown culture war. And the culture war really doesn't have much to do with religious issues like gay marriage. It has everything to do right now. It has everything to do with dismantling capitalism. It has everything to do with the complete takeover of our public education system. It has everything to do with literally replacing anything that was created by a white person and replacing it with something created by a person of color. And we have seen this play out all over America, so much so that you have very well-known comedians like Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld who refuse to even step foot on a college campus because they're afraid of these college kids. They're afraid that they might not understand a joke. I mean, as horrible as it is, a lot of people think the most heinous thing that the public education system has done is teach our kids how to hate America. But I contend that a very close second is they have raised a generation of American young people who do not have a sense of humor. And it's tragic. I can tell you right now that millennials and Generation Zers have no idea what the word satire is all about. None whatsoever. So that brings me to January the 6th. There is a new report came out last night from Michael Bolton, not the singer, wrong guy. Michael Bolton explaining in this extensive investigation about what went down on January the 6th at the U.S. Capitol. Now, before we jump into this, I want to throw this idea out there. In the quest to fundamentally transform America, we as a society have now come to believe and embrace the idea that there is no such thing as absolute truth. So if I go out there and say, the tree is green, that is my truth. But Grace Baker could go out there and say, Todd, the tree is zebra print. And I could say, you're a moron. And she would say, that is my truth.
Well, I prefer Dalmatian spots, but close enough.
Dalmatian spots. There you go. I missed an opportunity there. What are you going to do? So this is the idea of everybody has their own version of the truth. For example, we know what the mainstream media told us about January the 6th, but we really don't know the facts. We don't know what actually happened. We know what their narrative is, but we don't know what happened. They say it's an insurrection. Those Trump supporters, those smelly Walmart people, they stormed the Capitol building. They rushed up the stairs and they shoved aside police officers. There was all sorts of mayhem. And Nancy Pelosi was so terrified that she put down her martini glass and... No, that part of the narrative was not in there. But you know where I'm going with this. But in reality, and again, let's be honest with ourselves here. When you look at the average Trump supporter in America, they're slightly to more so overweight, not very athletic. There's no way anybody in that crowd could have stormed all of the steps of the Capitol building. They would have keeled over of cardiac arrest by the time they got to the 12th step. But they told us all of these things about the Capitol attack that have turned out not to be true. As a matter of fact, not a single firearm was recovered or confiscated. None. There were no. So who in their right mind stages an insurrection without any weapons? How do you do that? Another thing that's got me puzzled about January the 6th. Most of the people that the FBI arrested are still in jail. Now, I'm just curious. How many of those Antifa thugs that have been staging literal insurrections in Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis, most recently Brooklyn Center. How many of those Antifa insurrectionists are still in jail? I'd be willing to say none of them are. They've literally set fire to federal buildings. They have literally attacked federal agents. And yet I don't see any FBI agents busting down doors and dragging people out of their homes in the middle of the night, as they did to the so-called insurrectionist on January the 6th. But maybe, just maybe, the reason why these people are in jail from the Capitol riot and have not been released is because the government doesn't want them talking to anyone. Has anybody thought about that? Maybe, just maybe, there's a reason why. And it's a frightening reason. Because maybe, just maybe, what happened on January the 6th is not what we think it is. And I say that because, according to this investigation from the New York Times, as now being published by the New York Post, we now know that the Capitol Police were instructed to stand down. And that makes a lot of sense because we've all seen the video, right? We saw the video. Even the mainstream media has seen the video, and they know that a good many of those protesters were actually allowed to walk into the building without so much as an interruption saying, you are violating the law, you cannot go here. As a matter of fact, you had Capitol Police officers opening the doors for the insurrectionist. Who does that, ladies and gentlemen? So what do you think really happened here? Well, maybe, just maybe, the progressives, the Saul Alinsky disciples, maybe they needed some sort of a moment, some sort of an event to turn the attention dramatically away from the big issue of the day, which was the stolen election of 2020. Maybe, just maybe, that was the ultimate motive here. Because as we know, the only person who was shot and killed was a Trump supporter. And as far as I know, the person responsible for that crime has not been arrested, has not been charged. There's also something else that's very disturbing. They're trying to tell us that the Capitol Police officer who died, Officer Sicknick, was killed at the hands of the insurrectionist. We now know that to be false. That was not true. But don't you find it puzzling that to this day, we still don't know what caused that man's death? As a matter of fact, we know that he went home. He was in good spirits. And then suddenly something happened. Well, Judicial Watch has filed a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the District of Columbia. They want to see the autopsy. And quite frankly, we ought to see the autopsy. Because I contend that if, in fact, the officers, as the investigation has detailed, were told to stand down, that tells me that somebody higher up the food chain was hoping to create some sort of a false narrative about what January the 6th was all about. But it goes beyond that, ladies and gentlemen. Because now we know that what just happened in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, is not exactly what we thought it was. Because now we know who this person is, Deontay Wright. You know, his parents and the media would have you believe this young man was a saint. But in fact, he was a violent criminal. A violent criminal who was facing charges that he choked a woman not once but twice, and was charged with aggravated robbery. A man who had another encounter with police where he resisted arrest and had a gun that was not registered. So it's possible here that all of this is meant to cause chaos in our country. It's meant to pit black man against white man, to divide us so the socialist can come in and take over this country. What say you, America? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I got a little breaking news to share with you. This is a big deal. So this information is coming in from the Minneapolis Star, and we understand that the police officer, Kimberly Potter, she is the 25-year veteran of the police department there. She is the one who shot Dante Wright with the gun. She thought it was a taser. Well, now we can tell you that she has been arrested. She is being charged with second-degree manslaughter in the shooting death of Dante Wright. She could face up to 10 years in prison and a $20,000 fine. Now, I guess my question is, did they arrest her for being a cop or for being or the color of her skin? That is legitimately a question here. Because clearly, it was an accident. It was not as if she went in there and intentionally shot this guy. She was thinking it was the taser, and it wasn't. Now, should she be fired? Yeah, absolutely. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if you can't tell the difference between a taser and a Glock, you don't need to be patrolling the streets. But here's my question. Does this police officer deserve to be charged with manslaughter? Does she deserve 10 years in prison? 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend, Joe from LJ, Georgia. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind today?
Todd, you're great, and I totally agree with your conclusions during the first part of the show. I think these terrible riots, including Minneapolis, will backfire on the Democrat Party. And you know, there's a Democrat that just died, Andrew Hastings, and he's being replaced. And well, in Louisiana, the widow of the representative was elected, and so now they're down to, they only have a two-vote majority in the House of Representatives. So I think these riots will help elect, certainly in 2022, Republicans take over the House. And I think, Todd, you'll see four or five or maybe more Democrats voting with the Republicans because the polls are showing, even the Washington Post poll showed that the Republicans will take over. So I think we can stop Biden in the House and in the Senate. Manchin's not going to leave us, and neither is Sinema of Arizona. So I think all these riots, Todd, and I agree with you, they're going to backfire on the Democrats and elect a Republican House and Senate, and then we can shut down all this stuff.
We're going to have to, Joe. That's the only way. And the Republicans are going to have to find the courage and the fortitude to stand up and fight the Democrats. This is not a time to play nice. This is not a time to capitulate. This is a time that we have to save the country. And I think something very nefarious is going on here. And I think they knew what was going to happen, and they stood down and did nothing on January the 6th. And now you have the race agitators out there using every single one of these cop shootings as some sort of a mechanism to burn down American cities. And we just cannot allow that to happen. Now, by the way, we're coming up after the break. I'm going to throw some stats at you so you can understand the truth of what we're dealing with here. But the question of the hour, should the police officer in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, face charges? 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us here. Breaking news edition of the program today. So the police officer over in Brooklyn Center, Kimberly Potter is her name, 25 years on the job, now facing second-degree manslaughter charges. Now, I want to read to you the what a second-degree manslaughter charge is according to Minnesota law. And I think this is going to frame our discussion here for the next little while. So according to Minnesota law, when someone creates an unreasonable risk and consciously takes chances of causing death or great bodily harm to another, that person is guilty of manslaughter in the second degree. So the question now is, did the police officer create an unreasonable risk and consciously take chances of causing death? I would contend, based on the video evidence I've seen, the answer is absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the person who created the unreasonable risk is Deontay Wright. Now, I want you to understand something here. The mother, you've been hearing a lot of conversation about the air freshener. Well, my boy was just pulled over because he had an air freshener. He had an air freshener in his car. And those police officers profiled, I say. Well, it turns out that's not true. The family is lying to you. This had nothing to do with an air freshener. It turned out the guy had an expired tag. And when they pulled him over and they ran his driver's license, because again, he was in a car that belonged to his mother, it turns out that he was wanted on an outstanding warrant. The guy is facing trial, or was facing trial, for robbing and attacking a woman, choking the woman not once but twice. The guy had an unregistered gun. The guy had a previous encounter where he resisted arrest. This was a bad guy. This was not some sort of a choir boy here. So it seems to me, if you want to talk about an unreasonable risk, when that man, Deontay Wright, when he resisted arrest, when he fought with the police officers and jumped into his car, that was the unreasonable risk. Now, the question, the second part of this statute, did the police officer consciously take a chance of causing death or great bodily harm? Again, the answer is no, she did not. She screwed up. She made a horrible, terrible mistake. But she thought she was firing her taser. And we know that because she yelled, "Taser, taser, taser." Did anybody hear the police officer yell, "Glock, Glock, Glock"? No, of course not. So you know what's going on here? They needed a sacrificial lamb. They've got to do something. They've got to throw somebody to the wolves so the BLM mob won't burn down the city. That's what's going on here. So you got a woman who, as far as we know, has a pretty good track record, but it really doesn't matter because what she did is a fireable offense. But this woman's probably going to spend the next 10 years of her life in jail. All right, let's get to the phones here. Do you think this police officer should go to jail for what happened? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Benton, Arkansas. Ryan, listening to us on KARN. Hi, Ryan. What do you think?
I don't even know what's going on, Todd. I don't see how this is possible. I don't know when it became okay to shake off cuffs when you're being arrested by a police officer and jump in your car and try to escape. What if he would have plowed into a minivan with a family of four or five into it? What would he have been charged with? I just don't get it.
Ryan, it's a great question you raise here. I mean, what does this mean for all the rest of us? Does this mean that we are allowed to resist arrest if the police officers tell us to get out of our car? No, I'm not going to do it. Who do you think you are? I mean, again, Ryan, this goes back to the opening monologue. They're creating a lawless society. And when you have a lawless society, you plunge right into chaos, and out of chaos comes anarchy, and out of anarchy comes a savior, and that savior is socialism. That's what I suspect is going on here. Ryan, thank you for the call. Let's go to Carlotta in Rhode Island. Hi, Carlotta. What's going on?
Hi. I have so much to say, but, you know, about 10 years ago, I was in New Jersey, and I had my grandson with me. He was about 3 months old, and all of a sudden, like 6 police cars. You know, I'm just a woman with a grandkid, and I was going to ShopRite, and about 6 police cars just zoomed in on me, and it was sirens blazing and everything. So, you know, of course I had to stop, and they started screaming, get out of the car, get out of the car. And you know what I did? I got out of the car. And it turned out that the car I was driving, although they didn't have the license plate number, was similar to a car that was involved in a murder crime. So that's number one. Okay?
Well, Carlotta, look, I hear what you're saying here, and it seems like, again, this was a case of mistaken identity or whatever. But the point is, you obeyed what the police officers told you to do. Even though you knew in your heart of heart you were innocent, you did what the police officers said, and you knew it would eventually be sorted out.
Exactly, and I'm alive to tell you the tale, but that's not what I called this.
All right, real quick, Carlotta, real quick, let's get to it.
Okay. There's a nationally known newscaster, somebody. I don't want to give his initials, but he's adopted a black child. He's white. And he constantly talks about, you know, the problems he encounters. And the other day I had enough, and I just wrote to him. I said, stop it. Just stop it. If you have something to say, as a nation, we're much more than racially divided. Stop virtue signaling about you and your daughter. And you know what? It's about a week ago. And since then, he's been posting more reasonable stories.
All right. Carlotta, appreciate the call. Thank you for that. Let's go to Daryl in Cabot, Arkansas. Daryl, should the police officer face charges?
Absolutely not. It was a terrible accident. The woman is probably very distraught, and she's going to carry that around with her for the rest of her life. The only reason they did arrest her, in my opinion, is just like what you said. She's white, and they needed a sacrificial lamb. And she's going to pay the price one way or the other to keep the cities from burning.
All right, Daryl, well said. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Alan in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening to us on NoogaRadio.com. All right, Alan, what's your take on this situation out there in Brooklyn Center?
I am a staunch conservative, voted for Donald Trump every time I could. But the quickness with which both sides go to their corners, the left ran to scream this was racism, and then guys like yourself and a lot of conservative talk radio hosts will try to bring up this guy's past, and he should have complied. I agree totally. Should have complied. It still is not justified what happened. I'm not saying you justified it, but there's no reason to bring up all this stuff with his past record. What we should do is look at us as citizens. If I were in the same situation where I mistakenly killed someone trying to protect life, which we all have the right to do as a citizen, I'm still responsible for that bullet. I don't know why, as conservatives, we want to afford all these policemen the ability to be above the law when we don't have that same right. I understand the statutes that have been passed, but according to the Constitution, no one is above the law. If I fire a bullet trying to defend myself or in a situation where I mistakenly killed someone, I am still going to be held responsible. Now, the problem is our jury system has become so polluted, the judges are so polluted. If we look at the original intent of the jurors, trial by jury and a jury of your peers, if that woman's peers were to be put in there and heard what their rights are, the only people above the law are the jurors.
Now, Alan, I want to jump in here because you've unloaded a lot here. And folks, Alan here is saying that simply bringing up this guy's past, I'm not justifying the shooting, Alan. But what I am doing is explaining what, Alan, you know what? I'm going to let you speak, but right now I'm speaking. So hang tight. What I am saying is that we have to understand why this guy was pulled over. The family says it was an air freshener. Well, now we know that was not true. He had an expired tag. And under the law, you have to have a tag that is current. So they pulled the guy over, they ran his info, and they found out that this was a bad guy. This guy had outstanding warrants. That's why they were taking him into custody. And then he fought with police. So wait a second. And now, Alan, why did he have a warrant? Well, it turns out that not only has he been charged with attempted aggravated robbery, he was accused of choking and holding a woman at gunpoint for $820. This was a bad guy, Al. And so the police knew all of this. So they're taking precautions to make sure they can get this guy into custody. Now, it was a horrible accident. But my question to you is, do you believe that this was an intentional shooting, that the female police officer intentionally meant to kill this guy?
No, sir. Absolutely not. You can clearly see in the video here, she says, taser, taser. And if you look closely from her body cam footage, in her peripheral vision, I'm sure she sees that yellow taser that is on her fellow officer standing to her right. Anyone can see that in the video. That's going to be very quick. You see the yellow taser in your peripheral vision. You said taser. You already have something in your hand that feels like a taser. Your adrenaline's pumping. This is what I was alluding to with the jury statement. If we have that woman's peers get in there, all of them testify to her character. They bring up her 20-some-odd year record of service, clean record, I suppose. Then she would not go to jail, would not spend a minute in jail. Is it a tragic accident? Yes, but not all accidents are crimes. And the record, I understand that. That's why he should have been tased. Tase him. Beat the snot out of him. He was a piece of crap so far, but I understand people can change. I'm a Christian man. God can do anything he cares to do in the hearts of man. And I'm just saying, hold her to the same standard as all of us, but if we would get the pollution out of the jury system and the judges, the woman would not spend a minute in jail.
Well, you know, you and I both know that depending on what the makeup of the jury is, she's going down for this. Even if it doesn't matter, she'll be getting prison time because they don't want cities to burn down. This is not about justice. This is honestly about blackmail. You give us somebody or we're going to burn it down. And I think that's what's going on here. Alan, appreciate the call. But I'm telling you, this is a big, big story, and this is going to be repeated all over America. Can I just say something here? Why was this guy even out in the first place? Really, you're gonna hold somebody up. You've got a gun to their face. You're choking the woman, and this guy's allowed to wander the streets of Brooklyn Center? The guy should have been in jail. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's the Todd Stern's Radio Show.
All right, folks, coming up on tomorrow's show, by the way, our good friend Franklin Graham is going to drop by. That's going to be a fun conversation. Let's get right back to the phones. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in today. Let's go to Ronnie from Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening to us on Nuga Radio. Hi, Ronnie. What's on your mind?
Not much, Todd. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. What's on your mind?
What I want to know is why do whenever a black person gets shot, people always want to justify the reason why he got shot and never said that it was wrong for him to get shot?
Who is saying that?
You.
When did I say that, Ronnie?
Why? You talking about his record. Now, Todd, who was handcuffing him?
The police. Who they were trying to handcuff him, Ronnie.
Right. Right, right. It was a black guy handcuffing him. Right.
I have no idea who was trying. Okay. You see, Ronnie, I don't look at skin color. Do you look at skin color, Ronnie?
You watched the video.
That's right.
You analyzed the video.
Mm-hmm. So you think this is about race, Ronnie? Is that what you think?
Yeah, it is. And you are one of the top race baiters it is on top radio show. You always want to give. Oh, yeah.
Where's your evidence, Ronnie?
I hear it every day. You tell Joe from LJ that I got Barack Obama's number, just like he got Governor Kemp number. And Barack Obama really appreciates you giving him a lot of airplay. But anyway, Tom,
you mean Barack Hussein Obama? Is that who you're talking about, Ronnie? The former president?
It was a black guy. Uh-huh. It was a black guy trying to cuff him. It was a black guy trying to cuff him. Watch the video. And then she going to jump in there and think that she's a hero. She's going to be the hero. And what she's saying, she knew she had her gun. She knew she had her gun, but she want to justify shooting the boy. She already done had her plan planned out. Oh, I'm going to say that it's a taser. No, she knew it was a gun. The black guy was willing to let the boy go.
So let me get this straight. Ronnie, you thinking that white police officer was saying, ooh, I get to shoot a black guy. Woohoo!
Yes, sir. And yes, sir.
Ronnie, you're smarter than that. Come on, Ronnie, you're smarter than that. Don't buy into the mainstream media narrative.
You would turn every white officer that has shot a black person loose. You would, because that's just how racist you are.
There's just a flaw. There's a flaw in your argument, Ronnie. Hey, Ronnie, you know what? This is my show. I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak now, and you can hold on.
Go ahead.
There's a flaw in your argument, Ronnie. Here's the flaw. More white people, more white Americans have been shot and killed by police, almost by a 2-to-1 margin, than blacks in America.
They have to be really, really doing something bad to get shot, too.
So that's your justification, I see.
When that guy shot them people in Colorado, they walked him out. He should have been shot right there.
You mean the Muslim?
Really, really bad. The guy that shot the people in Colorado.
The grocery store. Yes.
You were saying the other day, I stopped for the police. I put my hand on the steering wheel. I do this and I do that. You know why? Because you white. You can do that.
Have you ever been pulled over by the police, Ronnie?
Yes, I have. And I've been.
Were you shot?
Very, very bad.
Were you shot, Ronnie? Were you shot by the police?
No, I wasn't shot.
No, and why were you not? What? And why is that, Ronnie? Because I guarantee you, I would like to wager you did what the police officers told you to do, and you did it. You complied.
Palanda got shot, Castro Palanda, and he was complying. He was sitting over in the passenger seat. He was complying.
Ronnie, one more time. Your heart of hearts, you don't believe that this was a horrible, tragic accident?
No, it was planned out. The woman planned it.
She planned it. Okay, all right.
What is you to profit the radio world but lose your soul? And that's exactly what
I know where my soul is, my friend, but I got to tell you something. That's pathetic. Ronnie, shame on you.
You are profiting. You are profiting in the radio world, but you're losing your soul. And that's in the Bible.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot more people like Ronnie in this country, and that's a scary thing. All right, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I know where my soul is, Ronnie.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Hope things are going well. It is a fiery show today. And I want to repeat the breaking news of the last hour from Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. And the only reason I pause every time I say that is I want to say Brooklyn, New York. So what a weird name for a town. But it's Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. Kimberly Potter, the police officer who fired that fatal shot, has now been charged with second-degree manslaughter. And as we pointed out, that means that investigators believe she created an unreasonable risk during the arrest of Deontay Wright. And we've had a lot of people wanting to weigh in on this. I want you to hang tight. We have full lines, so hang tight. We're going to get to all of your calls. But the question of the hour, should Officer Potter be be arrested should she be charged with a crime here. Faces up to 10 years in prison, tens of thousands of dollars in fines. Well, I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always good to have with us from the state of Tennessee, Congressman Chuck Fleischman. Congressman, welcome to the program.
Todd, always a pleasure to be with you. I understand it's raining in Memphis and it's raining in Washington, D.C.
Well, it's sunny here, but it's a lovely day out there. So, Congressman, I want to jump right into this because we have a lot of unrest around this nation. And it just seems to me that there are forces at work here trying to divide this nation. And I'm wondering if you see the same thing, and I'm curious to know what you think the end goal here is.
Well, it depends on the group and their agenda. There was a time in this country, Todd, that Republicans and Democrats, even though they had differences, bona fide differences on things, would always coalesce around a good core sense of values, love of God, love of country, patriotism, bipartisan or nonpartisan foreign policy. That has left us, and it's left us largely because the radical left has taken control of the Democratic Party and driven them to a place that I think is extremely detrimental to the fate of our republic and, sadly, is going to continue to divide us unless the American people speak up, act up properly and peacefully, and vote the right way and get us back to a good, solid conservative values not only in Washington, but at the local and state levels.
But in all honesty, I don't think the Republican Party has ever had a majority of conservative rule within the party itself. I think there's been a civil war going on for quite some time, Congressman. And honestly, I think that's one of the reasons that President Trump lost on Election Day. I don't think all of the Republicans were on the same page.
Well, I think you're right, and let's take a little bit walk down memory lane. I can remember there was a time before Ronald Reagan when Republicans, many of them like Nelson Rockefeller and others, were decidedly very progressive, I think to the detriment of our country and to the detriment of the Republican Party. It was Ronald Reagan who was a great ideologue and basically moved the party to where it was a majority conservative party. But you're right. People in the party fought Reagan. Originally, George Bush fought Reagan. I remember debating former Vice President Bush when he came to visit at U of I. At that time, he was a pro-choice, pro-ERA Republican. Thank God he changed his positions. But the party moved, thanks to Ronald Reagan, more conservative. And the great revitalization by Donald Trump, he brought our party back, I think, in the conservative fold, and did something else that I think even Reagan didn't succeed at. He brought the common person, Trump did, into the Republican Party, that hardworking man or woman who goes out and plays by the rules every day and said, hey, wait a second, I want to get back to good, solid conservative American principles.
Well, and again, I think there is a lot to that. Not only did Trump bring in the working class, blue-collar workers, but, Congressman, he also brought in so many minority voters, and the polling data post-election day backs all of that up now, and it was, quite frankly, a major story that the media just ignored.
You're so right, and that's the sad thing about right now, where we're divided in this country along so many lines. The left is trying to push racial division, economic division. Let's face it, we're all in this thing together. I want to move everyone forward, regardless of race, regardless of gender, and move our great nation forward. And I think the way to do that is to grow our economy, look at the free enterprise system, how great it's been for our country, reduce taxes, reduce regulations, do the things that Donald Trump did. And if you look at his track record, it was incredible. He went out and he accomplished so many different things. It's just a crying shame that he was not reelected. I'm very sad about that. We've got somebody in the White House now and a team in the White House now that doesn't even communicate with us in any way, shape, or form. it's a liberal or left of liberal cram down. It's their way or no way. And that's no way to govern America.
Well, it's not. And by the way, the other big component here, Congressman, is what's been happening on the border. And, you know, Tucker Carlson's been coming under fire, but there's a lot of truth to what he says. And the reality is, if you bring in 1 or 2 million illegal aliens, those people are literally disenfranchising law-abiding American voters.
Well, yes, it's a failure on several fronts. And as you may know, Todd, this week I invited Vice President Kamala Harris in writing to go to the border with me. She's supposed to be in charge of it. She should be down there and see the chaos created by whom? The Biden administration. Plain and simple. Forget the politics. Go to the truth. They created this chaos. They have fostered this chaos. They don't know how to fix it. So they're trying to euphemize their way out of it. They can't do it. This is a crisis that's going to hurt our country for decades to come in terms of crime, in terms of cost, in terms of so many different things. The system's overrun and it's broken.
Now, Congressman, just a few minutes ago, the vice president announced that she is going to travel to Guatemala and she's going to travel to Mexico. But she refuses to say if she's going to go to our border. Why do you think the vice president refuses to go to the border?
I don't know. That's why I invited her, and in good faith. If she goes, I will be very straightforward. But she needs to see the chaos, the disarray, the humanitarian degradation done to these people before they get to our country. And she needs to see firsthand the situation that the Biden-Harris administration and their minions created. Plain and simple, they caused it. You talk to these migrants coming over, they feel that they were welcomed in by what? The rhetoric of Joe Biden.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate you coming on the program, and hope for sunny skies in Washington.
Indeed. In more ways than one, Todd, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for your great show. And my best to your listeners.
All right. Congressman Chuck Fleischman from the great state of Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, the reason why Kamala Harris doesn't want to go down to that border, she knows she's going to get blamed. She sets one foot down there, photos every time something goes wrong at the border. It's going to be her face, not Joe Biden's. All right, look, I want to get to a couple of these calls. In the last minutes of the last hour, we had a guy named Ronnie on who accused me of being a racist and says that I'm fomenting racism on the air and that he believes that the white police officer intentionally went out of her way to hunt down and shoot Deontay Wright in Minnesota. So I want to go to James, who's in Chattanooga, Tennessee. James wants to respond to that. Hi, James. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I don't know if I should speak directly to Ronnie or not, but that all I saw on the video was two blue uniforms. You already told Ronnie that black or white did not matter in no uncertain terms. And I'm only here to say the first person, which happens to be Ronnie, that's crying racism is usually the true bigot.
Well, James, that is, you know, I have found that to be true in my life and my dealings. And in all honesty, I had no idea the skin color of the other officers. As a matter of fact, we had Governor Mike Huckabee on the program yesterday, and I knew that she was white. And we had that conversation. But honestly, this has nothing to do with race. And they're trying to make it to everything to do with race, just like the George Floyd trial in Minnesota. They said early on this was all about racism, and James, to this date, there's been absolutely no evidence presented that this was a racially motivated attack. James, appreciate the call. Let's go to Roger, Moorhead City, North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hey, Roger, what's up?
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me. Reverting back there to Ronnie, I just can't imagine any cop in the nation getting up one morning and going, oh, I'm going to go kill me a black man today. That don't happen. And I think it was an accident, and it was a tragedy. But that's a real shame that it did happen. But kudos to you for putting up with Ronnie and letting him speak his piece. That's fair-minded of you. But I agree with James about he who barks first is usually guilty.
Yeah, exactly. And Roger, anybody who thinks that the police officers, when they show up, they put on their uniforms, they go in for the morning meeting, and you know, they're getting their marching orders for the day. We need 25 parking tickets today. We need 50 speeding tickets, and you need to shoot three black men. That doesn't happen. And if you think that happens, you're a moron.
I agree with you entirely. But I would like to say something else, though, going back to the beginning of your show. As far as the direction of the country and what's happening, is I hope everybody understands that the super rich, the CEOs of these companies making millions of dollars a year and going talking out against the voting laws in Georgia, people got to understand these are the people that want a super rich and a super poor. They got no business getting into politics and voting. Run your business. But these people, if they really wanted to do something about equity in America, instead of the CEO of Duke Energy making $22 million a year in compensation, they would cut back and give their people something like a pension. Pensions are a thing of the past now.
Okay. Well, Roger, appreciate the call. Thank you, and thank you for listening. We really want to stay on target here, folks. And when you do call in, let's make sure that you stay on the topic at hand. And the reality is that the reason why, and to answer his last point there, the reason why the government came in and shut down all the small businesses is so that the big businesses would thrive. They're the ones that have the lobbying money. Mom and pop businesses don't have that. So that's why they got shut down. All right, got to take a break here. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What is the best state in America? I mean, everybody knows it's the Volunteer State, the great state of Tennessee. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the greatest state in all of America. However, the folks over at YouGov have created all sorts of controversy because they have officially decided to rank all of the states in this great nation, border to border, across the fruited plain. And I want to go through some of this list here, and I'm rather surprised at some of the notations. First of all, the number one state in America is Hawaii. Can I just say something? And I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to be uncouth, but I kind of think Hawaii is overrated. You know, I've been there, and I went down to the beach. I was at Waikiki Beach, and I was not all that impressed. The sand was tan colored. It was just the water was not. I don't know. You know what it is? I've been to the Redneck Riviera, which is the Florida Panhandle for those of you living in Wisconsin, and it is. The beach is down there, and Grace Baker, you know this, and I know that Avery Bryson has been down to the Redneck Riviera a time or two.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The sand is just, it's like sugar.
I've been to Destin, mm-hmm. specifically.
And the water is blue and turquoise. And
it is very pretty.
Yeah.
I've never been to Hawaii, though. So,
and, you know, this, yeah. I was just not all that impressed, guys.
Really? I've seen pictures of Hawaii. It looks pretty beautiful to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the photos
See,
are nice.
Todd, the only logical thing to do now is you send Grace to the Redneck Riviera, and you send me to Hawaii, and we'll compare.
Reverse that. Reverse that.
See, Avery wants to see those Hawaiian dancing girls.
Oh yeah,
the ones
the
in
luau.
The
go to a
yeah.
Luau.
Keep in mind, Grace, I am single. You are not.
The grass skirts. The hewed out strategically placed coconuts.
Oh my God.
We've seen the pictures.
I mean, I would like to swim with dolphins as well. I think that would be nice.
I don't think they have the dolphins out there.
Do they
you
not?
You can swim with the manatees in Florida.
But here's the thing, guys.
That would be
so fun. The same thing in California. So I go down to the beach, in Santa Monica where I normally stay, and you go out there and the water, there's all this seaweed and gunk. It's just nasty. But in the Redneck Riviera, you have the sugar beaches, you have the beautiful crystal clear blue water, and
very picturesque.
It's very nice, very pleasant, and it doesn't cost $20,000 to vacation there.
There is also that.
So I'm going down the list here. Avery, Georgia's ranked number 9th. That's your home state.
For top 10, I'll take it.
Tennessee is number 21.
Really? That kind of surprises me. I wonder
that does because it's got you guys have Nashville and Memphis probably like two of the most
Chattanooga
historic,
and Knoxville. Chattanooga
Dollywood puts us in the top 10.
We've got beautiful hiking places to hike.
Here's what gets me. So these are the this is horrible. You folks in Arkansas, you should feel you should be ashamed. You came in 47th. Now New Jersey is 48. I believe that 49 is Mississippi, and I'm shocked. Because they got catfish down there. And they have as part of the Redneck Riviera. And and then Alabama is number 50.
Dang.
Go Crimson Tide.
I've been to Alabama one
it's
too many times.
It's making Tennessee feel a little better.
And number 51 is Washington, D.C., which I absolutely believe. But it's not a state. It's not a state.
You just got to include it in there, though, don't you? It's its own little thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very special case.
It's a sewer and a swamp. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Didn't mean to stir up a hornet's nest with that YouGov poll, but YouGov ranking all of the states in the union, Hawaii number 1, and Alabama, depending on if you believe D.C. is a state, which it is not, D.C. is last in their poll, but among actual states, it's Alabama. Doc Washburn from our great affiliate in Little Rock, Arkansas, just sent me a text message. He says that South Walton Beach is his jam. So he's down there on the Redneck Riviera quite a bit. Good for you, Doc. Well, look, last night as I was wandering around running errands, I caught an interview on Lars Larson's show. And Lars, a good friend of this program, a good personal friend, and he was interviewing the former U.S. Solicitor General Ken Starr. About his brand-new book called Religious Liberty in Crisis, Exercising Your Faith in an Age of Uncertainty. And this caught my attention. I am very passionate about religious liberty. I believe it is the bedrock, the foundation of our nation, and I believe that's what separates us from every other country on the face of the earth. Well, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line right now is Judge Starr. Judge, good to have you with us today.
Hey, thank you, Todd. So good to be back with you.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the new book, and I'm curious, why this particular issue?
Oh, my goodness. Is it ever the issue of our time? There are immigration issues, there are spending issues, but the issue that really touches us in our homes, in our churches, our synagogues, our places of faith, and for those of no faith, this is something that is, I think, so important to who we are as a constitutional republic and as a free people, as you very well put it in the intro. So 40 years ago, don't worry, I'm going to cover 40 years. I joined the Reagan administration as chief of staff to the Attorney General, and I was just hit straight on with a huge question at the time of religious liberty. And you know what was happening in that case? Very briefly, I talk about this in the book, because it really had an effect on me. A public university, the University of Missouri, Kansas City, told a Christian group, you cannot meet on our campus. You're a student group, but you're not like the chess club or the French club, because you see, you're religious. I knew that was wrong, and happily, the Justice Department under Ronald Reagan was totally supportive of the claims of religious liberty. And so it's been for 40 years. It's just getting worse. So many times, including at the national level, but we certainly have seen it in the pandemic, haven't we? Mayors, governors, others, local folks step in and they try to do that which they should not be doing, which is intrude into the community of faith and telling people how to run their lives, including most recently home Bible studies that the California governor was trying to essentially outlaw.
I mean, the idea that the government felt like they had the right to go in and not only shut down home Bible studies, but to shut down churches. Even in the state of Mississippi, you had a small town mayor send out the police department and ticket everybody who was attending a drive-in church service. I mean, this was not Berkeley, California. This was Mississippi.
It is happening almost everywhere. Coming to your neighborhood, not a coming attraction, but a coming force of government at every level. I'm so glad you mentioned the Mississippi case. I could mention an Alabama case that just was appalling, what the city of Birmingham did to a leading church that has done such good work. You know, one of the many things that religious groups do is let's leave the faith dimension, the theology aside. They do good works. They help the community. They make the community better. Tocqueville noted this in his trip to the United States in the 1830s. Churches and religious organizations are positive influences. But of course, now they're being condemned as hotbeds of discrimination and deprivations of human dignity and so forth. And it's just wrongheaded, I think. It's misguided. But here's the key. It's dangerous to who we are as a free people. It's totally inconsistent with our traditions. And what my book does, in 170 pages, it tells stories about great principles. Every person, a high school student, you don't have to go to law school, a parent and a grandparent around the dinner table or at a family gathering, can speak in winsome ways about these great principles about who we are as a free people, and to defend this great culture of freedom which we have, a culture that is now the religious culture that is now under unremitting assault. Hollywood has long been hostile, right? We've understood that. Certain states have been hostile, but now, as you rightly point out, we're seeing it everywhere, even in traditional parts of the country where you would never expect there to be an assault on what our founding generation viewed as our first freedoms. We have to stand. We have to first inform ourselves to know what's going on, but not just to say, hey, I have an opinion about this, but to be able to present a winning and winsome argument, not in court, but across the coffee table or at around the water, if people go to work these days. But however we are communicating in this time of COVID, we can be winsome and persuasive and encourage our family members to do the same thing.
And Judge, I think this is just, I think for the past, I don't know, 30, 40 years, that American school children have been, I guess, they've been indoctrinated and conditioned to think that religious liberty has no place in the public marketplace, when in fact, this is a country, and you correct me if you feel like I'm wrong here, but in my heart, I believe that the intent was to have a Christian nation, a nation that was founded on Judeo-Christian values and precepts. And it's under those precepts and teachings that you can worship any way you want to or not at all. But it's only under that form of government.
And the reason is because we're talking about human dignity, which is at the absolute base, the foundation of the Christian and the Jewish scriptures. Every human being has dignity. Every human being has worth. And this is captured in our Declaration of Independence. These rights that we view as sacred rights come to us, what? From the Creator. Those are the words of Jefferson and the founding generation. This is not from the Bible. We have a entire edifice. In fact, let me quote William O. Douglas, a great liberal, a great progressive from the FDR era and beyond, of the Warren Court. He wrote for the court, not just for himself. We are a religious people whose institutions presuppose a supreme being. Amen, right? Read the Declaration of Independence. It's right there. But the schools have all too frequently departed quite radically from that demonstrably true reality of who we are as a free people. And this book is a call. Let's not sit on our haunches. We certainly have no laurels at this stage to rest upon, because the culture is arraying against us, and we've really seen this in the pandemic.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend Judge Ken Starr. I'm curious, was there a moment when you were getting ready to write this book, was there a moment that you decided, oh, this is what I'm gonna write about, and this is why I'm gonna do it?
Yes, because of an experience I had in New York City when I saw the closings begin in March, but before the first Governor Cuomo order was issued. I saw the storm clouds gathering, and I said, it is time to write this book. So the pandemic obviously gave me more flexibility, but I said, this is the time. I started writing this book in just about 1 year ago.
And I'm also curious about the narrative here. Whenever I'm writing a book, you start compiling all the evidence, and then you realize, holy cow, we got a big problem in this country. And I'm curious, when you were looking at all the evidence coming in and all the data, why do you think it is that people like Cuomo, people on the left, are attacking religious liberty?
I'm not going to get into their motivations. I just deal with the reality, and the reality is they are clear and present dangers to our religious liberty. And let's be thankful for our Supreme Court, which is one of the things the book says. For the last 40 years, and I timed this and said, oh my goodness, it was 40 years ago that I came into the administration, the Reagan administration, as chief of staff to the Attorney General of the United States. And so we had to wrestle with these issues. And I saw there are all these anti-freedom forces, and they tend to be local, right? And the specific case that I talk about in the book, a public university telling a Christian group you can't meet. What kind of country is this? What, you can't be like the French club or the scuba diving club? That this is just wrong. And sure enough, the Supreme Court rallied, as it does time and time again. Almost always, the Supreme Court has gotten it right for the last 40 years. And so let us be thankful for the court, and that's part of what I'm trying to articulate here. These are the great principles that have driven the court in the correct direction to sustain and protect and preserve our fundamental freedom, the first freedom, as you rightly say. It's the first freedom, the first 16 words of the First Amendment. Before you get to the freedom of speech, freedom of the press, the right of the people, peaceably, we've had a lot of violent and terrible assemblies, the right of the people peaceably to assemble, to petition the government for redress of grievances. Before you get to any of those precious rights, and they are precious, we have the first 16 words, protecting religious liberty.
What a powerful word. Folks, the name of the book, Religious Liberty in Crisis, and we have a direct link to this book on our live show blog, so you can find out all the information there. Also links about Judge Starr. Judge, congratulations on the book, and we look forward to getting you back on the air very soon.
Hey, thank you, Todd. I appreciate it. God bless.
All right. Wow. Judge Ken Starr, and he's right. This is a major issue. This is the most important issue, because I believe when you take God out of the equation, you take God out of the public marketplace, you get chaos. And that's what we've got right now. And to his point, There was a time in American history. I want you to just think about this. Go all the way back to the days of FDR, one of the most progressive liberal presidents in recent memory. Even FDR was a person of faith. He led the nation in prayer. He made sure that every soldier going into battle had a copy of the Bible, one of those small Bibles that you could fit in the pocket of your shirt. And he actually had these Bibles plated with steel. And there are plenty of stories about soldiers whose lives were saved in battle because the bullet hit the steel plate of the Bible in their breast pocket. Amazing stories. I actually have a copy of one of those Bibles in my collection. And it's just it's an amazing thing to see. But there was a time here when, by and large, everyone went to church on Sunday. Everybody worshiped God. There was an understanding that we were set aside as a nation. We are blessed because of our allegiance to the Almighty. And now, look at where we are. Could you imagine if FDR came back today? He wouldn't know what this country was. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Hey, Grace Baker, guess what's happening this weekend? Big doings. Big time doings.
Ooh.
So I'm actually judging a barbecue competition.
What?
I'm very excited. Memphis, Tennessee, the University of Memphis Tigers, I guess they're having some big event.
Oh.
A football game or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the spring game is this
spring
weekend.
Game. And
yes.
So they call up. They say, we need an expert. And I said, I'm your guy.
You are from around here.
That's right. And just for the record, this is a barbecue contest, so no beef. It's all pork.
Yeah. And it's not brisket.
But that's beef.
Exactly.
That's Texas. But there's another big event. It turns out Avery is celebrating a big birthday coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is this the big 2-0?
This is the big 2-0.
Whoa. Then next year you'll be the big 2-1.
Yeah.
And then it all goes downhill from here.
Why are you talking to him like he's a child? It's like,
you said the big 2-0.
Well, it is the big 2-0. If you're 19, you're like officially 20.
Yeah, you're no longer a teenager. Mm-hmm. So yeah. The moody teenager swings have to go. There's no more excuses for them.
Yeah, it feels definitely really weird. This is the first birthday I'm actually going to be celebrating away from my family.
Aww.
And yeah, I mean, I'm going to be fine. I mean, I'm sure. I know I'm going to miss
them.
You have
friends, though.
Sure, we'll go with that. I'm just kidding. Yes,
wait,
I have friends.
What?
What?
Do you need a friend?
I have seen your Instagram pictures.
Oh, he's got friends.
I know.
I do have friends, yes.
He has an active social life.
Yes, super, super active. I don't stop doing things ever, but... Yeah, I'm really excited, honestly, for this birthday. I officially feel like I'm an adult legally. 18 just doesn't feel like, technically that's the legal age of adulthood, but
yeah, it doesn't feel like it though.
Doesn't feel like it to me very much. But yeah, all in all, I'm super excited. I think this is it's going to be a fun day. I'm recording my podcast on that day, so hopefully it's a really, really fun episode that me and my co-host get to do for my birthday. I hope he gets me something. If not, then he's out. But, you know, I'll find someone else to replace
him.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That's harsh.
Well, hint, hint.
But you got to
look. He's listening.
Avery, you got to lay down the law. I mean, you know, you're the host.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My way or the highway, baby.
That's it. Well done. By the way, coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking about, is your dog a homosexual? And this
what?
One of my favorite topics to discuss on a day-to-day basis.
I mean, I love the first part of
story.
It, the dog part.
People are very upset because apparently there are not enough queer dogs or disabled dogs in children's cartoons. And we're going to get into that.
Oh, my word.
So. All right. Well, Avery, happy birthday. We're going to have to come up.
Thank
you know
you.
What? We will have
yeah,
people
happy
wish
birthday.
You birthday greetings. And if you want to send gifts, send them to the radio station, I guess. Right? Grace is like, what? What? We'll be right back.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, what is wrong with people? I mean, why is it that the business community, big business, why do they have to always get involved and these big culture issues? It makes no sense to me. So now the very latest is Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream people from Vermont. And I know they're radical leftists, but I got to be honest with you. I like their ice cream. It's tasty. And Grace, I know I probably should be boycotting Ben and Jerry's, but they have very delicious vanilla ice cream.
Ah, well, I'm more of a chocolate lover myself. On the ice cream.
Well, I don't judge. And again, I'm not a racist simply because I like vanilla. It's just my preferred choice.
Sure, it's classic.
So it is. Know, it's a classic flavor. So I'm not, do not read anything, you know, political into my flavor of ice cream. It's just who I am. So now Ben and Jerry's is coming out and they're condemning what happened in Minnesota. And they posted a message to their Twitter page.
Of course they did.
You know, Twitter's got to go. It's got to go.
The cesspool of humanity.
The only good thing about Twitter, you can figure out within 140 characters or less if somebody's a moron.
Yep. This is true.
So Ben and Jerry says the murder of Dante Wright is rooted in white supremacy and results from the intentional criminalization of black and brown communities.
What?
The system cannot be reformed. It must be dismantled. What do they want? No more police?
That's exactly what they want. Well, then people could just break into Ben and Jerry's and steal all the ice cream.
No, you know, this is a fair point. They charge for their ice cream.
They charge a lot for their ice cream.
And it is a lot of money.
It's expensive. I never buy it because it's just too expensive for the amount you get.
And yes, I've had the Cherry Garcia. Again, don't read anything into that. It's a delicious ice cream.
It is good.
Grace, what's wrong with America?
I don't know.
You know, I did have, we're going to bring in, you know what, let's bring Dr. Kanner in from Truett-McConnell University on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Dr. Kanner, how are you, sir?
I'm enjoying your white privilege ice cream that I'm listening to.
I'm not a racist, doctor. I just like vanilla ice cream. Make it
Listen,
stop.
I like Turkish Delight, but that's because I'm Turkish. So there's a
hey,
difference.
Not only, yeah, that's TMI. Well, Dr. Kanner, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, there is something going on in this country where everything has been radicalized, even the kind of ice cream we want to enjoy.
Yeah, I don't care about your overpriced coffee like Starbucks. I don't care about your bubbled water that you call Coke. I don't care about Netflix because they're able to conjure up how to figure out put movies and TV shows together. And these are all what we have found out is capitalism is over and corporatism's in. And what matters, they think, is they've got all the money. They can hoard all the wealth and you need them. That's their argument. You need them. We don't need at that point. They don't need the consumer. The consumer needs the corporation. And they think if they all stick together, doesn't matter because you can't boycott everything. And I promise you, in smoke-filled rooms across airline industries and corporate America and Ford and GM and Silicon Valley, that's what they're saying. Let's all stick together, and nobody can boycott everything.
And again, this is even when you look at some of the conservative news organizations in New York City that will go nameless here, the reason why there has been such massive cultural shift is because of the HR departments. They're all controlled by these radical leftists who got their HR training in public universities, and now they're spewing this garbage into the rest of the general population.
Yep. Just like when they realize the attorneys generals are lawyers and they could steal the election by going to the attorney generals instead of going to the American people, that's exactly what they did. And they're doing the same thing across the fruited landscape in academia. You're not allowed to, I talk to students all the time that, for example, they're banned from getting to master's programs because they're not woke enough, and they're told that in their interviews to get into these programs.
So last year, there was a woman named Natalie Escobar, and she wrote a piece for NPR interviewing an author who actually defended looting. And I was reading an essay last night, and they say that looting is appropriate because capitalism is in itself rooted in systemic racism, and therefore it's okay to take the white man stuff, or really the black man stuff, because again, most of the businesses in Brooklyn Center are in fact owned by black Americans.
Well, and it's the same idiocy as, hey, we're going to move the Major League All-Star game from Atlanta, that is a majority minority owned city, to move to Denver, which is nearly an all-white city, in order to move from Atlanta, that has more expansive election laws, than Colorado, that's more restrictive. It doesn't make any sense. All this is now are corporate bullies who hold the purse strings and therefore think they have the intelligentsia.
Well, so to that, let's just hold to that argument then. All right, so Ben and Jerry's, who believe that the police are intentionally going out there. And by the way, Dr. Cantor, earlier in the program, we had a caller from Chattanooga, and he literally believes that that white police officer wanted to hunt down Deontay Wright and shoot him. So she woke up that morning, and the white cop wanted to go out and kill a black man. And there are a lot of people around this country that believe that, including Ben and Jerry's. But Dr. Cantor, if Ben and Jerry's really wants to be woke, they need to go ahead and offer their ice cream free of charge, because charging for a pint of their ice cream is capitalism, and that is racist.
And if there is really systemic racism, then here's the question: who owns the system? Well, Ben and Jerry's does. Coca-Cola does. They must be the systemic racists, because they are in control of the system. And if we want to know where systemic racism, big cities have been run by Democrats for 100 years. So I assume Democrats know that they're the racists, because they're running the cities that they are saying infrastructurally are racist. That's where they're walking. It doesn't make any sense. Every American is guilty before being proven innocent, especially if you are one that is not one of a marginalized group. If you're, God help you, if you're white, you're male, and you're Christian, you are a target in every essence of the word. Whether you're applying to a university or applying to a job, you are now a target, and you are now assumed to be, in one way or another, a racist, a bigot, or some type of phobe.
You know, Dr. Cantor, we've been following these developments out of Minnesota. We got word earlier today the police officer in that case is going to be charged with second-degree manslaughter, could face up to 10 years in prison. Meanwhile, just a few moments ago, the Justice Department announced that the officer who shot Ashley Babbitt, the only person to be shot during the January 6th riot at the Capitol building, is not going to face charges.
How do you even explain that? How do you explain the very fact that this woman, that you can see the video, was not in any way being violent or attempting to break in, and the officers had let them into the Capitol? We now know that. And they get away scot-free, so you can guarantee there will be a civil suit and that the items will come out. On the other hand, we're already rushing to judgment. This is the great danger of media today. CNN already admits, as they have now over the last 24 hours, as you've reported over and over again, they're propagandists. They're not journalists. They wanted Trump out. Their next point is to instill fear upon the American people through climate hoax of a climate change. Same thing here. The reason why there are riots is because the media want the riots. They encourage the riots. They say there wasn't a riot because it's all justifiable. And if it's justifiable, well, hey, why not do it?
It was brilliant. Yesterday, they're yelling at the police chief, "How dare you? How dare you call this a riot? This is a peaceful protest." Meanwhile, they're throwing slabs of concrete, bombs are exploding, fireworks in the air. It looks like a war zone, but it's a peaceful protest. And Dr. Cantor, this goes back to what I believe is a spiritual problem in America, where truth is now irrelevant.
Well, if you remember, the Iraqi spokesman, when we invaded Iraq,
Baghdad Bob.
Baghdad Bob was on camera while American tanks are going by him and behind him saying, "We're about to conquer the infidel forces." One of the funniest things, that's now CNN. They're Baghdad Bob. They're trying to pretend nothing is happening or to tell you something's happening that's not happening. They did it with the hoax of January 6th. They're now doing it today. And by the way, on a serious note, who's hurt? Well, look at the crime rates in Minneapolis. They're skyrocketing. Or Baltimore after the Freddie Gray. And because if the police are going to be blamed and if their hands are going to be tied, they're going to have to pull back. And now the innocent people of those urban communities are in danger because of fools like Rashida Tlaib and others who say we have to somehow dismantle the forces.
Dr. Kanner, I just got a text message from one of our listeners. And they said, "What do you mean, Starnes? What do you mean you enjoy Ben and Jerry's? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you eating Blue Bell, you liberal?"
Well,
I do like Blue Bell ice cream. It's, but, you know.
Saved people, Ben and Jerry's for pagans. And so you just have to realize that you're eating a socialist ice cream, Todd. You're getting invaded. Your DNA, your micro DNA is going to really, the mRNA is going to really attack you at this point, and you're going to change. It's going to change your system.
That's their new flavor, Heathen Crunch. So, Dr. Kanner, by the way, we are now broadcasting on WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. That's your neck of the woods, as they say. And I know a lot of our listeners love what you guys are doing there.
Well, we love being here. The 9th District is one of the most conservative districts in all of the nation and filled with great people who are gun-toting, Bible-believing people. And it's a blast to live in the mountains of North Georgia. And you can guarantee right here on the mountains, there's a happy redneck Turk that loves living here.
I love it. All right, Dr. Kanner, we're going to leave it there. Host of the Emer Kanner Show, you can hear that program every Sunday. If you want information, just go to our website, toddstearns.com, and check out the live show blog. Dr. Kanner, thank you. He is his family's from Turkey, so that's the Turk, redneck Turk. So there you go. All right, folks, I'm telling you, it's crazy out there, just crazy. And now Ben and Jerry's is getting into the mix. And I do like Blue Bell, but I also like Ben and Jerry's. Don't judge.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
You folks in Georgia, man, Hollywood doesn't like you. So this is from Mediaite. Hundreds of Hollywood stars, major corporations, and top executives signed a statement on Wednesday opposing Georgia's new voting laws. The open letter was printed in the New York Times and Washington Post. It was organized by the former head of American Express and Merck. And among the people signing on to this, if you're thinking about, I don't know, boycotting people, here you go. Target, Netflix, Bank of America, Facebook, Cisco, Twitter, Microsoft, Starbucks. Their coffee always tastes burned. Why is that? Is that like a thing? I mean, you're willing to, you know, slap down $5 for a cup of burnt coffee? I mean, it really? I don't get that. Amazon, MasterCard, American Airlines, United Airlines, and Viacom, CBS. And then you had all of these Hollywood celebrities, George Clooney. Now, Avery, this is your home state. They're coming after your people here.
Yeah, it's not a great feeling. But, I mean, like, I know some really good Georgia, really good Georgians, and not a lot of these descriptions fit.
Leonardo DiCaprio, never did like that guy. And Grace Baker, I know the women. The women kind of love Leonardo.
He's okay. But like him in Titanic.
Really? You see, yeah. I was rooting for the iceberg.
What? No, I love that movie. But no, he's okay. I never thought he was particularly attractive. I'm more of a Chris Evans kind of gal.
He was
that
whiny.
That makes 100% sense.
I don't know. He's just whiny. I don't know.
He's fine.
Sacha Baron Cohen. Ugh.
Who's that?
Who?
I don't know who that is.
The comedian dude, who's all, the prankster. And well, the and the man, remember the guy in the mankini?
His first name is Sasha?
Yes,
is
Sasha.
Oh,
Sasha,
that was throwing me off.
Baron
that
Cohen.
That threw me off, too.
Yeah, anyway.
Katy Perry. Oh. She should know better.
Yeah.
Ariana Grande. Is she still a thing?
I love Ariana Grande.
You got a boycott.
It's unfortunate. I have a friend who's a big Ariana Grande fan as well.
I'm a big fan, but she's crazy.
Oh, Avery's people are on this list. Uh-oh. George Lucas.
What?
J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams doesn't surprise me.
You're joking.
No, I'm serious. I'm reading. These are the people that were behind the letter. Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, come
that
on.
That makes sense, but that still is a knife to the heart.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's the Hamilton dude.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That does not surprise. Out of all the people on this list, he and Leonardo DiCaprio do not surprise me one bit.
So but I do love Hamilton.
I've got a story about that. So I did enjoy going to the Broadway show a time or two.
Yeah.
When I lived in New York City. That was one of the, I guess, one of the benefits. And very talented people, very gifted people. But I went to go see Hamilton because it was all the rage. Oh, Todd, you have to go see Hamilton. It's just fabulous. You'll love it. It's just fabulous. So I went. I mean, it was a lot of money for those tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there.
Yes. I've only watched on Disney Plus.
And I made it. I barely made it to intermission. And I left.
I loved it so much. It's awesome.
I left at halftime.
Why?
I couldn't understand a word they were rapping.
Oh,
the whole the whole concept of the rapping founding fathers doesn't make a whole lot of sense
to
me.
But it works, guys. Have you seen it, Avery?
I have, unfortunately have not.
Okay,
I've boycotted
it works.
A lot.
Like, it takes a little getting used to. It took me about 10 minutes, and then it felt totally
Remember,
natural.
They booed Vice President Mike Pence.
That's also a good reason why I don't watch it.
Godless Ben and Jerry heathens.
See, the thing is, again, like, all these people that you've listed off, Todd, they can have whatever beliefs they want. That's why, and because our great country allows them to have that. However, the big problem I have with, you know, Lin, whatever his name is, I can't remember it.
I know, I can't remember his name either. The main star from Hamilton, yes.
Yeah, he made the entire show. I believe he wrote it and stuff like that, and that's good for him. And he doesn't have to like Mike Pence, but Mike Pence came and spent his money to go see this play, and so therefore he should be if I were him, I would be like, okay, this guy is the Vice President of the United States, or he was running for Vice President at that time with President
Trump. I
want
my money back. That's what I would have said. I want my
money
back.
I would have said the
back.
Same thing. Yeah.
All right. Guys, we got to take a break here. I promise you we're going to get to the homosexual dog story. It's a doozy. Got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. You folks in Georgia, are you okay with this? Hollywood hates your guts. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. If you haven't already done so, now's a great time to head over to our website and get yourself a free subscription to the Todd Stearns podcast and newsletter. A newsletter coming out in just a few moments. Avery working very hard at that. And we would love for you to be informed and to get fair and balanced news, and you can do that over at ToddStearns.com. Want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always good to hear from our friend, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko. Congresswoman, how's it going?
It's going great, Todd. How are you doing?
You know, I'm a little wired up today. I think I had way too much coffee this morning.
You can never have too much coffee.
Well, you know, I knew I liked you, and now I like you even more. Thank you for saying that. hey, look, I wanted to ask you about Kamala Harris, the vice president. Just a little while ago, she announced that she is going to Guatemala. She's going to Mexico, but she is still not going to the border. Why do you think that is?
Because she doesn't care about border security. That's why. It's, you know, it's obvious to me, President Biden and Kamala Harris don't care that there's thousands of kids that are all piled on top of each other in these, you know, these aluminum blankets or space blankets or whatever, and that there's just tons of people crossing the border each and every day. Drugs are crossing the border, getting into our communities. Do you know that they're flying these people? Other Congress members have told us today in two conference hearings that they are flying these illegal immigrants all over the country. They don't have to have a negative COVID test. They don't need a photo ID. The taxpayers are funding these flights all over the country. It's just outrageous, and it's very clear. 21 days Kamala Harris has been appointed by Biden to be the top official to address the border crisis, and she hasn't even gone to the border.
Now, I want to be clear here. So you're telling me that taxpayers are footing the bill for airline tickets, and the illegals have no IDs, they haven't had the China virus test, and they're able to get on board a jetliner in America.
That is what several Congress members told me when they were flying, you know, during the time that they had off. They were flying. They saw with their own personal eyes illegal immigrants with these big folders that have dates on them of, like, one had Andrew Clyde was one of them. He had a photo out there. It shows a picture of a big envelope that illegal immigrant had on his plane flight, and it said he started out in McAllen, Texas, went to Dallas, then Philadelphia. And he said that there was no ID required, no negative COVID test required, and you know that we're footing the bill for these people. I mean, to me, it's obvious.
Well, it's, again, I know Tucker Carlson is catching a lot of flack for this, but when you've got 1 to 2 million illegals coming into this country, that is voter disenfranchisement. They are disenfranchising law-abiding American citizens by being here on American soil.
Well, not only that, but, you know, it's clear to me that the Biden administration is prioritizing illegal immigrants over U.S. citizens. When you stop the border construction of the fence, when you stop Trump policies that say, okay, if you're going to claim asylum, you need to stay in Mexico or you need to stay in a safe country in Central America and until your court date comes up, he has undone all of that. And then he tells the whole entire world, basically, come on in. You're going to get free health care. You're going to get $1,400 stimulus payments because in the Democrat relief bill, they didn't require that you be a citizen or a legal resident to get the $1,400. And so, of course, everybody and their brother is going to try to come into the United States. And there's no mistake, there's no coincidence that they're wearing Biden-Harris T-shirts. And they have said on national news the reason that they're coming is because they heard Biden will accept them. He needs to tell people, send a different message that they need to stop coming here illegally. He needs to reinsert Trump's policies of the Remain in Mexico policy. He needs to stop giving free health care, free stimulus checks. But you know he's not going to do it because he wants all these illegals here. I guess future voters.
Unbelievable. Well, Congresswoman, thank you for coming on the program today. And thanks for sharing this info. We're going to try to get Congressman Clyde on the program so he can tell us what he saw firsthand. And we appreciate the great work you're doing for the country.
Thank you so much. You take care and hello to all your listeners.
All right. Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot and apparently coffee lover. We should have told her about community coffee. That's a life-changing experience for her. So, I'm on the House Homeland Republican the Republican House Homeland Committee's website and Facebook page, and sure enough, there are photographs of illegal aliens on board a jetliner. These are taken by Congressman Clyde, and it's a Manila folder, and it has a message: "Please help. I do not speak English. What plane do I need to take? Thank you for your help." Smiley face emoji. And the congressman says, that, and as a matter of fact, so this particular illegal was boarding an American Airlines. That's the same airline that's boycotting you people in Georgia. So the illegal is on board an American Airlines jet heading, taking off from McAllen, Texas, a layover in Dallas, and now apparently that illegal is somewhere in Philadelphia. The congressman says that illegals are being released from custody. They're being put on domestic flights, likely paid for by taxpayers. There is no negative China virus test requirement, and there are no valid ID required either. So do you understand what the Democrats are doing here, folks? The Democrats are creating a country within a country. One set of rules for illegal aliens and another set for all the rest of us. If I were to show up at the airport and not have a valid ID and tried to board a plane, you would never hear from me again. They would send me over to Gitmo. But clearly, these illegal aliens are being allowed to do whatever the heck they want to do. And you're paying for it. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Let's talk to Patricia. She is listening to us on WDUN in the great state of Georgia. Hi, Patricia. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was hearing you say that Hollywood didn't like Georgia anymore.
Oh, Patricia, it's worse than that. They hate you guys. They hate you.
I don't think half of Georgia cares. When they come to Georgia, it's just a bunch of traffic and a bunch of noise, and Hollywood don't do nothing for Georgia, just cause problems. They've not really done anything for us, so why should we care?
You see, Patricia, I'm with you, and I don't think Hollywood's going anywhere. They're all bluster, because at the end of the day, your lawmakers in Georgia have given them some pretty phenomenal tax breaks. And they may be liberal, but they're not stupid. They can count dollars and cents, and they know that they're not going anywhere because they don't want to pay the high taxes in California, which is why they're in Georgia in the first place.
Correct. So they can find somewhere else to go.
All right, give them the heave-ho. I like that. Patricia, great call.
That's
thank you for listening to us. We appreciate that. And welcome all of our brand-new listeners over at WDUN. Oh, Mitch McConnell's in the news. You know, he and President Trump have had a bit of a falling out. And over the weekend, President Trump made some unkind comments about Mitch McConnell, called him a dumb SOB, stone-cold loser. Those are some of the nicer things he said. This was at Mar-a-Lago. And so anyway, now there's a report out of thehill.com. Alexander Bolton is the writer of this piece. And the headline is that Mitch McConnell wants to end the feud with President Trump, so he wants to make nice now. I think McConnell understands the lay of the land. I mean, he's a political operative, and he knows that the Republican Party is really no more. Those days are long gone. This is a brand new Republican Party, and the people like Mitch McConnell and the party have either got to get with the program or they're going to get booted out of the party. But I got to thinking about this. I mean, could you imagine that Mitch McConnell flies down to Mar-a-Lago? Can you imagine what that would be like? I mean, with McConnell showing up at Mar-a-Lago, knocking on the door, wanting to patch things up with the President of the United States. Hamana, 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 Mr. President. You can just call me Turtle, Mr. President. Oh, Mr. President, I love your orange skin. Oh, it makes me feel giggly on the inside, Mr. President. Hummina, 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 hummina. Hummina, hummina. Could you imagine President Trump sitting there going, what's going on with this guy? What's going on? And why is there Barry White music playing in Mar-a-Lago? What's going on here? I don't think that's going to end well. But there you go. We'll see. I don't know. How do you make up with President Trump? Do you send him like one of those lovely flower baskets with the carved fruit? Do you send him a bucket of KFC? What do you do? I don't know. But we'll see very soon. Meanwhile, as promised, we've got to get to this gay dog story. This is a weird story. I'm just going to go ahead and say this out loud. It's weird. Now, Grace, I know you are getting ready to be a dog owner. Is that what they call them?
I say a dog mom.
A dog master. You're not
dog mom.
Well, you can't call them masters. You're dog a dog mom. I like that. Now, Avery, are you a dog person? Do you have critters about the Avery household? He may not have critters.
Yeah, I don't think Avery has critters because if you live in a dorm, you can't have critters.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Unless you have. Well, okay. I was going to say, you know what? One time we had a fire drill at my dorm. Everyone ran out, and one of the girls came out with a giant cat, and I was like, "You're not supposed to have that." She made sure she saved the cat.
Speaking of that, I was driving somewhere in Memphis yesterday. Mm. I was running errands, and I was over in the Collierville area, which is a suburb of Memphis. And Grace, the car in front of me swerved into the other lane. It was like a two-lane, you know, four-lane road.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I was about 10 car lengths behind, and so I had time to react. There was a giant dead thing in the middle of the road.
A possum?
No.
Oh no.
I thought it was a deer, and that's to be expected. It was an ostrich. There was an
Wait.
Ostrich.
What?
Yeah, it had like the big, huge body and the skinny. And I'm like,
no way.
I almost stopped. Traffic was crazy, and I almost stopped to see if it was okay. But it was dead.
You were crazy. No way.
No, I'm serious. There was an ostrich.
It can't be an ostrich in Memphis.
Dead.
Were you near the zoo?
No, I was not near the zoo.
Then no.
And I'm assuming that it was shot because that's pretty much if you're going to go in Memphis, that's how you go these days.
Oh my.
So I don't know if somebody gunned down the ostrich, if it was a drive-by, or if somebody just plowed into it. But
ostriches are scary to me.
They're frightening.
They're very large.
So anyway, as a dog mom, are you concerned about the sexual identity of your dog, of your pooch?
You know, with the way the world is a little bit, I got to make sure she doesn't get confused.
Well, you got to make...
Because, see, she's got spots, and then she's going to be like, Mama, am I white? Am I a white dog? Am I a black dog? I'm like...
It's a biracial dog.
It's a biracial dog.
It's a biracial. So you got to. Stop. Stop. So you got a biracial dog.
Yeah.
But now
so she's already like, what is going on?
Do you know the pronoun? The preferred
pronoun?
That dog
pronoun? Is a girl, so I'm saying she.
All right. So she's a she. So as far as we know, the dog identifies as a she.
Yeah.
So this. Wow.
I don't speak dog. How would I even know?
So. This story from Australia, there's an animated TV series called Bluey, and it's very popular among preschoolers.
I recognize the pictures.
It's become the latest culture war victim after a columnist. This is produced by Australian Broadcasting Corporation of the BBC. And the cartoon, it's about dogs, and it's a wide variety of dogs. The children's program has a lot of adult fans. ABC journalist Beverly Wang wrote a column, and she's very upset because Bluey is not racially diverse. She said, as a parent of color, she is concerned, dismayed, that the dogs do not accurately represent the diversity of the real world.
First Paw Patrol and now this.
Mm-hmm. This is apparently very detrimental to the preschoolers watching the show. And so then she posits a question. Second time we've used that word on today's program.
Yes.
Where are the disabled, queer, poor, gender diverse, dogs of color, and single parent dog families in Bluey's Brisbane?
Okay, this show, the dogs are different colors, yes, like orange and purple and blue, and that seems pretty diverse.
I'm looking here, and again, I don't know. How do you tell if a dog is gay?
I don't have a clue.
Figure it out, but
maybe the way they walk.
But it's a preschooler's. It's a preschool cartoon.
Exactly. Like how would you the way their
the way
voice
they
sounds?
Walk? What did you say?
I don't
the
know.
Way they walk.
The only reason I'm saying that
say
is because
it's
a dog. Because it's a dog.
Oh,
like
look
how
at that.
On earth would you tell? So I'm just making something up. Like I don't know.
Marge, Marge, look at that poodle. It's sashaying down the road.
Like, honestly, though, that's the most ridiculous thing. That's why I just said that. That's ridiculous. You can't tell by the way someone walks. Like,
there's something wrong with the poodle, Marge.
Oh, no.
Something wrong with the poodle. So anyway, local media has given this columnist the what for. They think it's outrageous. The Australian Courier Mail says it's the same old tired identity politics that the public has come to expect from ABC.
It's a dog.
It's a cartoon.
For like six-year-olds. I have a six-year-old brother. He is not thinking about that kind of stuff. He just sees the dogs, and he wants to like watch them do fun adventures. Come on.
Well, Mrs. Wang is Mrs. Wang is pushing back. She says it's basically a love letter, and it's a very—
this lady has too much time on her hands.
She needs therapy. She needs therapy. That's what. And by the way, you know, one of our staff members actually has a disabled dog. It's three-legged. So, it's a lovely dog.
I mean, the thing is, if they wanted to put a dog in there with three legs, in fact, you know what? Clifford the Big Red Dog already did this. I remember they had a dog one time with three legs, and they were like, "What's wrong with the dog?" And it was this whole thing, and it was so cute the way they did it, and the dog could, you know, played with the other dogs.
Clifford Gay?
No.
All right. Well, I'm just asking. I don't apparently that's a thing now.
No.
I mean, you already know how I feel about Scooby-Doo.
I love Scooby-Doo.
Well, I know, but, you know, Velma, you know, with the turtlenecks.
She's...
and the Mexican man shoes.
People are just making
We're not judging. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Just an observation. All
Can't
right.
Can't enjoy anything anymore.
Well, we hope to be back on the radio tomorrow. wow. ToddStarnes.com is the website. Check that out, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. This is the Todd Starnes Show.